on the palate. You know, your classic bourbon, caramel, vanilla, a little bit of sort of creamy coconut. It's got a nice, smooth coating finish to it. Nice coat on the palate. Gets the whole tongue. There's no, I'm not getting any empty spots on the palate with it. The oak on it is there, but it's kind of subdued. Yeah, it's very rich. It's very silky. It's very creamy. Which, I mean, they had to have run this thing through a filter a couple of times in 18 years. Because I would be expecting a lot more oak influence on this, but it's not
an oak bomb. You would expect it to be over oaked at this age, but it's not. So I don't know what they did to get the creaminess, but I would agree with you 100%. Beautiful, creamy, viscous mouthfeel. Drinks like, you know, a mid-range, beautiful whiskey that you'd spend, you know, a moderate amount of money on. Well-made, well-crafted, not entry-level. But I suspect, based on the age statement of it being 18 years old, that it's probably very expensive. And I don't know that it's worth hundreds of dollars. I think it's a beautiful whiskey at a moderate price. I don't know that I would give it as high marks based on the value of what I perceive it might cost. What do you think, Justin?
So I got like buttercream frosting on a Red Lobster biscuit for the nose. On the palate, classic bourbon flavors, and it just ends with oak. Now, the first time I had this, it hit me wrong. I could only do one sip. I had to put it down and keep going and doing other things. When I came back to it, it was a lot more palatable, a lot smoother. I don't know if it was me or the whiskey, but maybe you give this one a half hour after you open it before you hit it. And it was all right. What'd you think, Bob?
It's definitely improved with time and air. I think the air has done it justice, and it's smoothed it out, and it's really helped, round it out. It's amplified the vanilla flavors. So it's a nice whiskey. It's very nicely made. Like I said, I'd happily spend 50, 80, 100 bucks on it. I don't know what it costs, but I suspect that for the value, the price is...
Yeah, we try not to. I mean, we'll mention it like when it's really good and it's not expensive because, like, man, go buy that because that's a deal. But I've almost given up trying to, you know, compare prices because the prices now, honestly, some of them just don't make sense.
Seem random.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like they just throw a dart at a board and go, do you think we can get away with that?
Yeah.
But the point is that an 18-year-old whiskey is not going to be inexpensive, and I think this is going to be priced heavily, fairly, what it is. But in reality, it drinks like a nice 10-year-old.
Here's the thing. 18 doesn't mean anything more than 15, means anything more than 20, means anything more than 10. I mean, age is just a number.
But it costs money.
You know?
Age is times money.
There's plenty of whiskeys out there that are younger and older that taste better and worse. So, who knows? We'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up talking about Indigo's Hour, 18 years straight Kentucky bourbon. So we are going to go ahead and give that a rating, and we are going to give that Three sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So we get to talk about Old Overholt Cask Strength 11 Year. It's 50% alcohol by volume. Not really. It's 53.7% alcohol by volume, or 107.4 proof. Old Overholt is a brand with an amazing history. In 1800, Henry Oberholzer established a family farm on 263 acres in western Pennsylvania. Like many farmers of the era, he also distilled whiskey on the side. In 1810, his son Abraham took over and grew it into a thriving brand called Old Farm Pure Rye. After his death, his grandson, Henry K. Frick, the tough guy, assumed control of the distillery, and in 1888, they changed the name to Old Overholt with a picture of Abraham added to the label. The brand is now owned by Beam Suntory. The whiskey was distilled and barreled in 2012 and matured on the lower floors of four different warehouses in Claremont facility. And this is an interesting whiskey. They had another whiskey that Beam did where they did the different distilleries where they were distilled at. It was the same whiskey, and they all tasted different based on where they're matured. So the fact that it was matured at Claremont really matters. Hard to know exactly why, but I know it definitely matters. On the nose, it's sweet. It's inviting. I've got like a light floral note. I've got like creme fraiche, vanilla. I've got delicate baking spices on the palate. Beautiful rye bread. I got a little bit of cream cheese on there. Some cinnamon. Some spicy Calabrian oil and a beautiful woody sweet finish. What'd you think, Bob?
Well, I think they're stepping up the game with the Old Overholt, because we just did a show reviewing the Monongahela rye, and that was fantastic. This one, different, definitely different. I think this is more of the old mash bill as opposed to that new one, but really, really wonderful rye.
Be fun to look at them side by side. I would agree with you, Bob. They're very dramatically different. Hard to pick a favorite over the two, because this is
what? Oh, so as Maury was saying off microphone, it's like dramatically different. I think the age really did it well.
I didn't touch it.
And back to Maury.
Oh, you cut me out. You're trying to censor.
Maury somehow decided in the middle of the show to turn his microphone off.
It's funny because my hands are elsewhere occupied.
Yeah, we did that from the other end of the table with our minds. What were you saying?
No, I was saying that it'd be fun to
flick
try
the switch.
The two Overholts side by side. They're both delicious, but dramatically different styles. And
different mash bill. I mean, that's the one we did before was the whole new thing. This one's 11 years old. This is the old Overholt that we're used to, but just more age.
Yeah, but the regular Overholt is not exactly a top shelf whiskey. It's a middle to bottom shelf whiskey. And with this, with the 11 year mash bill or 11 year age statement, excuse me, this is a major step up. And I thought it was delicious. As you said, it's got a beautiful dark mahogany color. The nose is just classic. The palate is just viscous. It's mouth coating. There's just all this baking spice and cinnamon and toffee and creme brulee. And the finish goes on. I think this is delicious. Now, it's a little bit pricier than the other one that we spoke about, the AA Overholt. But it's 11 years old, and it's fabulous.
If you ever get a chance to have Old Overholt from the early 1900s, mortgage the house and have that pour.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. But this one here, I mean,
this one's great. This one's solid. You don't have to mortgage the house for this one either. This is just really solid.
It's got a very dry palate, though.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not sweet at all.
You know, I mean, when you drink it, it's very drying on the tongue.
Yeah.
But there's just a residue of old, funky oak.
But if you have this with a boneless ribeye with a high fat content, you're going to be very happy.
Only with a bone in it. Sorry. No.
Fine.
Don't even talk to me anymore.
Fine. Fine.
Animal.
Be that way.
Boneless. Oh, dear Lord. You're lucky I let you in the house. Well,
I am.
We're going to. Yeah, well, honestly, this is not even one they sent us. This is one that I saw at the store when I was there, and I went, oh, I'm going to buy this one. We should put this on the show. So we're going to give the old Overholt cast strength. Here's your other problem. Cast strength, that's the other thing that makes it.
Yeah, good.
The old Overholt cast strength, 11-year, a well-deserved 4-sip.
That's classified.
It is so good to see somebody giving the old label so much love. That's fantastic. So that takes us to our next whiskey, which is the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey B number 524. Woo! Which always, every release of the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof, I mean, I don't think we've ever hidden the fact that we're all huge fans here on the show of it. I think the worst one we've ever had is still one I'd be happy to be buried with. This B524 is 65.3% ABV or 130.6 proof, 78% corn, 12% malted barley, 10% rye. It is 11 years and 2 months old. It's got a beautiful dark, dark color between a really dark peony and a nice mahogany.
It's dark as Maury's soul.
I don't think it's that dark. Yeah. Mm. And on the nose, just classic Elijah Craig barrel proof. Just deep, rich, dark. Oh, my God. Just molasses. Mm. Dark caramel. A little hint of vanilla. Oh, my gosh. And on the palate, let's have a sip. Hmm. On the palate, wow, just a really fantastic whiskey. Big, bold. I mean, you can taste the proof, but it's not overwhelming. The flavor still comes through. There's a nice oakiness there, but it's not overly oaked. There is a dark toffee, a dark caramel. A little bit of fruit on the tip of the tongue. A little bit of a cooling, almost a spearminty kind of minty on the back palate. Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. That's one of the better ones we've had in a while. What'd you think, Justin?
So, one basic point of drinking I'd bring out, especially with this, is sniff your whiskey before you down it. Because you're going to get 70, 80%. Of what's unique about it right in your nose. But this one, hold it like a foot away from your nose when you sniff it. Otherwise, you're going to rip your brain clean out of your head.
It'll burn the hairs out of your nose, that's for sure.
So, holding it away, breathing it in, it's everything I've ever wanted in whiskey, caramel, hot spice, dark fruits, stuff that's good in dessert. On the palate, super spicy. It's not as actually as hot as the nose. Like Bob was saying, the nose is hotter.
Nose is much hotter.
And you can drink it down easier than you could smell it. You don't have to hold it a foot away from your mouth to drink it. You can just drink it. But any of these high proof whiskeys, just drink a little bit at a time. Don't do like a whole ounce shot at once. You're going to burn the heck out of your esophagus. This is amazing whiskey.
I am very aroused.
Exactly that. What did you think, Maury?
I would agree with you. It does not drink like 130 proof COVID killing whiskey. Now, I'm a big advocate of 65% and higher ABV as it kills the COVID virus right in the back of your throat before it even gets into your upper airways.
Then I should drink nothing else.
Yes, correct.
That being said, this whiskey drinks like a nice bonded whiskey. It drinks like 100 proof. It is not hot on the palate. It's delightful. It's well made. It is dangerously good. You could easily drink this as if it were 100 proof whiskey all afternoon, and you'd find yourself on the floor. I think I couldn't add anything to what you said, Justin. I like the description. Classic bourbon flavors, classic toffee and brown sugar and creme brulee and baking spice. Nice finish, beautiful mouthfeel, beautiful whiskey. If you see it, buy it. You won't be disappointed.
We did these a little bit out of order because we did the C924 on our end of the year fall release show, because they were all coming out at the same time. So this one was sitting there for a little bit, and I honestly, as good as that one was, I wish we'd put this one in instead, because this one is fantastic.
So we did the 524 Larceny and the 524 Elijah Craig proof. They were on their game in May.
Yeah.
Gentlemen and ladies, well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic whiskey.
Do what you did in May. Woo.
So we're going to give the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey B524 a well-deserved 5 6.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
So that takes us to our last whiskey of the day, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
You imbecile, you bloated idiot, you stupid fat head, you...
Oh, sorry. I thought Harm was here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I guess you needed somebody to pick on today.
I was holding on that one for Harm.
Well, thank you for that introduction. With that in mind, the final whiskey for today's show will be the Old Fitzgerald Spring 2024 release. Clocking in at 50% ABV or 100 proof, it is 68% corn, 20% wheat, 12% malted barley. The Spring 2024 edition of the 13th release of the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond series. This release is 10 years old, comprised of barrels produced in spring of 2014. Now, the color is a little bit lighter than you might expect. It is a nice burnished copper, but a little lighter than some of the other whiskeys we've had today. On the nose, it's just pure heaven. You're getting cinnamon and clove and baking spice and creme brulee and molasses and brown sugar. Then comes the palate. It's just viscous. It's just dessert in a glass. It's delicious. It's mouth-coating. There's cinnamon, notes of creme brulee and toffee and vanilla. And the finish just goes on and on. I am always a huge fan, a perennial favorite of the Old Fitz. It comes out several times a year. This one does not disappoint. I thought it's as good as any of the others we've had before. I absolutely love this whiskey. Bob, what'd you think?
It's the most words we've got out of him in 6 months.
Yeah. My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
Next thing you know, you're going to get 5 words out of Justin. Holy sh...
So, I've been drinking Old Fitz for a long time. It started out...
Day or two now, right?
Yeah.
This and one more will make a pair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... It used to be in a 175. It used to be amazingly...
Well, that's a different Old Fitz.
Reasonable. Yeah. Is it different mash bill?
That's a different Old Fitz, yeah. It's...
Oh, okay. And they even have them in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like 175s in Texas.
They still make the regular
Old Fitz.
Yeah, this is not... Yeah, this is different.
Well, this stuff's really, really good. They put it in a really beautiful bottle with a cool crystal top on it. And if you're lucky to get it for retail, it's always worth picking up. I've never had one that was bad. They're all different. I'm glad to know it's different than the one I got for like $15 for a 175 in Texas. Yeah. But that is also delicious. But I didn't know it was different than these. That's because they're all different. So that's why I didn't know that wasn't different.
Well, that's a nice,
the differences like are different.
That is a nice thing about the Old Fitz decanter series is each you know, every spring and fall they have one. They're different every time. You know, they're, you know, different flavors, different profiles. So, and the packaging on it is beautiful. I remember I was in Chicago at Whiskey Fest, and they said, "Hey, you want to try something? This is coming out soon." And I tried it. Oh my God. And they said, "You want to see the bottle it's going to come in?" And they showed me the bottle, and I'm like, "It looks like a 55, 56, 57 era old Fitz decanter." And they go, "Yeah, about that era. It's kind of modeled off of that. I bet that thing's expensive. I think they told me the damn cork on that thing's like $15.
Yeah.
But what a fantastic whiskey. Just, I mean, so well put together. Just so elegant, so layered, so many flavors, so many things coming out of the nose on this. There's so much going on with it. I mean, what more can you say? It's every release of the Old Fitz is always great, but this spring 2024 release was absolutely delicious. So we're going to give the Old Fitz spring 2024 release a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, today did not suck.
No, it did not suck.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Harm. Oh, that's right. He's not here. That's why it's so pleasant. Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the fat man made a funny.
Okay. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another delicious day in the basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here as always.
Yeah, this day does not stink. When you're drinking the releases Old Fitz, Elijah Craig, and Larceny Barrel Proof, that's a pretty good day. I don't know which one to go back to first. That's the hardest problem I've got.
Take the afternoon, do them all.
Yeah, I think that's wise.
Yeah.
Maybe we should mix them together and make an infinity bucket?
No.
No. No. Absolutely not.
I recommend no.
No, probably not a good idea.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.
community who will support you on your academic journey, the Student Learning Commons has got your back. The Student Learning Commons is SFU's Academic Success Center. We provide free workshops, one-on-one consultations, coaching, and online tutoring with a focus on writing, study skills, and academic English. All Student Learning Commons programs and services are available to SFU students and are approved by SFU as providing ethical, academically honest support. Learn more by visiting our locations in the library on all three SFU campuses, or check us out online at learningcommons.sfu.ca.